Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And here's Johnny.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, where this year we will review Paranormal Activity. John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. We'll go into deep spoiler analysis. But we had so much fun last year reviewing Halloween, and we had so much fun creating a top five, which nearly destroyed our show. I thought it'd be only good to do it again, but we went with, you know, condensed version of it. So we did, I think we should do a top three found footage horror movies. And maybe also first give some your opinions on found footage movies, because I believe we are probably the... We were old enough to see Blair Witch Project become like a massive mainstream success, and so much of that success is duplicated here in Paranormal Activity. So, just want to also get your thoughts on it.
We're old enough to have believed it was actually what they said it was.
Yeah.
So I feel like we were young enough to believe in the hype, even though we should have been old enough to know better. But
yeah,
this is before the internet was as accessible as it is today.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one thing is found footage movies, especially Blair Witch, tries to pass itself off as a real documentary, similar to this. And that was always the thing. That's how they advertised it. That's how they were pushing it to create that reality of found footage, which created just a, I don't know, just captured the zeitgeist of those people, you know, of that era, you know, and it became a big hit. I think it's probably the most profitable movie ever made. And this is like the second most profitable movie ever made, based on budget and based on what they made back.
That checks out, yeah. This also put Jason Blum on the map.
Yeah, I read an interesting story about him. He was at Miramax at the time, and he had as a producer or something like that. And he says that he was in line. He had the option to buy Blair Witch, but passed. And so this is, so he always felt, you know, kind of like that's the one that got away, right? So Paranormal Activity is sort of him creating that movie again in his own way. And which, of course, was paid off, right? It's a huge success. He's able to launch his own studio, you know, make just a constant stream of horror movies under $20,000, I believe, right? Smaller budget?
Something like that. Which is super fucking impressive. It's like, how does he do it? Aside from
we know
drastically what cutting everybody's pay and
yeah,
the harsh work conditions and long hours where you don't get any incentive. I mean, I'm just, what I've experienced is all I'm piggybacking off of. So it's impressive that he's able to do all.
Of course, yes. Oh yeah, I think that the idea is that he is, ideally what he wants to create is a studio where independent filmmakers can make the movies they want and get a big release under his, you know, brand or whatever. But like you mentioned, they do take little shortcuts to reach that goal, right? Because if you're actually on a union studio big budget thing, the price, you know, is astronomical, right? Because everybody has to get paid, right? Yeah. And when you're doing it at a certain level, a certain budget, you know, you cut corners. That's like a main producer thing I think we've discussed in the past on this show about how producers are always willing to cut corners to save pennies and stuff like that. So
yeah, because unfortunately, more often than not, folks at home, producers aren't in it to make good movies. They just want a big payday.
Yeah.
Well, that's really how that works. They're not artists. Most of the time, producers don't know how to point a camera. That's the harsh reality.
Right. Definitely.
But they pay us.
But overall, so I was struck by this movie being released in 2007. And if I recall, Blair Witch came out in 99. And we've had what? Oh, it's almost what? 2 decades worth of found footage movies now. And we have seen it rise, you know, be the most popular thing, mainstream thing, to completely disappear, to having like, you know, a second resurgence with this series.
Which is like an interesting, it's like a little bit harder to do, I feel like, today. I mean, I guess you can still do it. There's still ways to get around things just not being internet driven, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, famously, which was going to be my honorable mention as my favorite found footage movies, Cannibal Holocaust came out in 1970 something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of the earliest found footage horror films.
Right, yeah. I was wondering, have they done... Oh, I guess they have, right? They've done... found footage isn't only exclusive to horror. They've been comedy films that were found footage. And
yeah. I mean, there's also, what, that movie Searching? Was that it was like a thriller, right? With John Cho?
That's right, yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, I think they've used it for several different things.
What's your feeling overall on found footage movies? Do you like them? Do you enjoy them?
I like the ones that kind of introduce like an anthology. I like those a lot. Just because if one sucks, then you move on to the other one. Unless they all suck, then you just wasted a fucking couple hours of your life watching short pieces of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of my favorite movies involve found footage, aren't completely found footage.
Okay. Do you want to list a couple of those?
Sure. Oh, well, should I do
my top your list? Then? Are you ready? Oh, they're part of your
list. Yeah.
You cheated. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, because I totally had this. I've had these written out for a very long time, at least 45 seconds. I wasn't Googling found footage horror films while we were talking.
No, we're always prepared. What are you talking about?
We never double up episodes.
Yeah, on the hottest day of the year. Yeah. yeah, no. Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's do, are they in any order? Are you doing actual 3, 2, 1? Okay. Give me number 3 then.
All right. Coming in at number 3 for my favorite found footage films. As I had mentioned, my honorable mention is Cannibal Holocaust. It's just a pretty classic found footage movie. It's not amazing, but you know,
yeah,
because it's old. But coming in at number 3, I have VHS 2.
Oh, okay, cool. I haven't seen any of these.
So the first one's okay, but the second one is pretty badass because I think they just hired really good directors this time around.
Okay.
Like, I think the guy that does... there's an Indonesian director that does one of the stories, and it's fucking badass. And if people at home have seen it, they know which one I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, there's one where you're some guy becomes a zombie, but he's got a GoPro on his head because he was out like mountain biking and on a trail. And then you just follow his story. You just follow a zombie story for the rest of the short.
Yeah.
Pretty fun stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. And coming in at number two, I have As Above, So Below.
Ah, yeah.
I think that's a fucking great one. That's like one of my favorite recent found footage movies.
Mm-hmm. Again, another one I haven't seen. I'm not.
Oh, it's really good.
I'm not the biggest like found footage fan. I'm not like, I don't see something in like, oh, I don't want to, like, if it's found footage movie, I don't like actively like dismiss it, but it's not like a genre that I think that I'm not as like fluent in. You know, I think my
I see. Yeah.
You when you hear my top three, you'll be like, yeah, those are all pretty like recent. So, oh. You know, so yeah.
I mean, well, so far, I think all the movies I have are at least within the past 10 years.
Yeah, same.
Because As Above, So Below came out, what, 2015?
I didn't know it was a fucking found footage movie. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's all camcorder perspectives and GoPros, and they just keep switching back and forth. Oh, shit. There's another one. I'm going to give another honorable mention because I just realized it's kind of a found footage movie.
Okay.
The Descent is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Yeah.
But my number one is going to be Sinister.
I supposedly it's the scariest movie ever made. By
Sinister.
By psychiatrists. Like they've done the psychological tested evaluations, it scored the highest in all of whatever their however they categorized it. Yeah. So
it's very unnerving. The whole fucking like, I mean, just whenever he's reviewing these like the reels that he finds in the attic and like the eerie sort of like non-existent music that's still there and just watching these people kill themselves or get killed by somebody and you can't tell who it is. God, it's so unnerving. And right. Ethan Hawke. There you go. That's my top three.
Yeah. That's interesting. You used, I never considered found footage. Like he actually finds footage that he eventually in the movie.
We're using the term kind of loosely. Yeah. But I mean, it is a found footage. It's based on a found footage.
That's true.
Found footages.
That's true. It is.
Would I?
But if you're so inclined, okay, cool. Yeah. I don't think I understood the assignment, so I'll give you my top three. So I have, I thought it'd be, I have to mention Blair Witch Project only because I remember being, how old was I at this point? I must have been 16, 17 years old when this came out.
Oh,
yeah. So I remember it very vividly in the theater. Yeah. And I was reading news websites constantly. Like, just people don't know, you know, we're from the Rio Grande Valley. There's not a lot of movie access, but we were able to, fortunate to where we had internet where we lived. And so I would constantly read about movie news and I was like on top of that shit, you know? So reading about this movie was. I remember when I first started reading about it, it was almost like the people who were reviewing it or talking about it were trying to be in on the marketing as well at first, where they try to present it as, pitch it to you as the reader as a real movie. Because I believe that's how it got passed around originally, the tape, was that it was a real, it was like a documentary. And that's what they pitched.
All the actors had to sign a contract saying that they're just going to be out of the spotlight for at least like a year or something.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but yeah. So people, when you watch this movie with that, knowledge or lack of like, it's very effective movie. It would be totally like nothing at the time we'd ever seen before. And kind of a revolutionary idea. Right. So it almost seemed like, so there was a lot of like build, a lot of hype with this movie leading up to its release.
And
And I remember very vividly, like, watching when this movie released. It released during the summer, and summer is usually a time they try to, when studios know they have a movie that's going to make a lot of money, they release it in the summer. And for horror movie to be released during the summer, they had a lot of confidence in it. And I even remember vividly watching, like, the local news, the 10 o'clock news, and there were lines outside the building to go watch this movie, that it had been completely sold out for weekend. It was completely sold out. Like, there was just like this hype that you see. I equate it maybe like Marvel now, Harry Potter, boom of stuff. Like, there was just like this fever pitch of just like everybody wanted to watch this because everybody, you know, thought it was real. Well, it was like, they thought it was like a real thing that was happened.
Because like I said, they pushed it really hard. Like, they signed all these NDAs, and the main actress said it kind of ruined her career because she couldn't audition for anything. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, everybody thought she was dead. she couldn't,
it's fucked up.
She couldn't audition. Like, yeah. Couldn't, her career like tanked right after that movie.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the acting was so believable because the crew basically fucking tortured them.
Yeah.
They would like send them out and be like, well, here's some cameras. We're going to leave you alone for a little while. We're going to be over at base camp. But that wasn't the truth. They'd be like out there sneaking around and like setting off like shit on the distance to scare the shit out of them. And then they wouldn't let them sleep.
Yeah.
So it was like, man, dude.
No, yeah.
I can imagine going through all that for a very successful movie that nobody knows that you're in because they thought you were dead.
Yeah, it's true. There was like this,
which happened with Cannibal Holocaust too.
Oh, no shit, really?
Yeah, everybody thought the movie was real. And then like after the movie was done, like the actors all just kind of split off back to like their countries and, you know, just went on with their lives. And the director and producers were put on trial and they were about to go to fucking jail before like last minute they were able to like find a couple of the actors to come back and be like, no, we're not dead. Mm-hmm. This was a movie. It's just that they couldn't prove that because this is 1970. Like,
yeah,
you either get a hold of somebody on a landline or you don't.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's crazy. That's a crazy story. But yeah, no, that's why I thought I'd put maybe, and this kind of was the one that kicked off the whole thing. So I thought I would mention it. My number two is Host from 2 years ago. It's the 56 minute short movie. And it's actually part of the reason I wanted to put it on there is because it was when we first started talking about doing this, we were like prepping you. I think you had mentioned it that, hey, check this movie out.
Yeah.
On Shudder. So
it's a lockdown movie.
Yeah. It's a lockdown movie. And it was the first thing I ever watched on Shudder. And I thought, man, this movie was great. It's a great idea, right? Of course, 2020 is when lockdown happened. And these team decided to create a, you know, what is it? Zoom horror movie, basically. And do a little bit of a... I really like the ending too. It's very thoughtful, very, you know, I'm talking about how, you know, we were all separated and being close to each other and stuff. So really effective movie.
Yep. And you're like, holy shit, Shudder's just got nothing but great movies, I guess. They're so excited.
They are. Okay. So Shudder is, to me, I love Shudder. It's a slow drip.
Yeah.
It's a slow drip. Yeah. You get stuff every month, you look, and there's always like at least something interesting they put out. Whether original or old or what?
Like Netflix.
Yeah. I would say Netflix lost the plot years ago. They don't know what they are anymore. They just want to buy their Oscar.
Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just that their releasing strategy is terrible.
Morbius.
Yes, Morbius. You're just screaming titles. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you want us to review the horror movie about vampires called Morbius, let us know in the comments below.
Yeah. Patreon content, the one movie, John.
To hold up.
Don't give it away for free.
The one movie to hold the honor of tanking twice at the box office.
Yeah, one summer. Summer Morbius.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it was a... Host, I thought was a really fun movie. And my number one is something we reviewed recently, Lake Mungo. It's an underrated horror movie and it's underrated found footage movie, in my opinion. I don't think I hadn't even heard of this movie when you brought it up for us to review. It must have been our first year doing this? 2021?
Oh, yeah. I want to say it was like one of the first like 10 or 15 episodes.
Yeah. And it really blew me away. I was like, what they were doing, what like the storytelling in it, you know. They also try to follow the, like, it's a real thing, but they take it as far as it feels almost like a news story, like a investigative news story, like a Dateline or something, 2020 kind of angle to it. And it's with the documentary slant, and I was completely taken with it. I really enjoyed it. It was a really fun movie. It's one of those ones that I didn't know anything about that I really enjoyed. So that is my top three found footage movies.
Nice.
And you know what? That didn't take 2 hours. Whoa. Look at us.
I think. Because I'm right there with you. I think the only reason I watch found footage movies is because I will watch anything that's a horror movie for the most part.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's one thing that people know about me universally. It's I love horror, and I don't know how they get that. That's kind of weird. Yeah. I don't know if it's because, like, a majority of my tattoos are horror themed, or that a bunch of my t-shirts are horror t-shirts, or I like, the only reason I watch pornography is because I misunderstood horror and horror.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was it. 90% of your gifts are horror themed. I was jealous.
I was going to say, what else? Yeah, actually. Yeah. I think there was one gift, that wasn't horror themed. The rest were all horror themed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. Good stuff.
Look at us. Hey, look at us. Right. We did that in 20 minutes. Excellent. All righty. Let's get to the main review of Paranormal Activity. John, I hope you're ready for this wild adventure we're going to be on for the next month. Get ready. Buckle up.
I don't know if my heart can take all these scares.
Well,
spooky. These movies know how to stay spooky, I'll tell you what, folks.
Alrighty. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Paranormal Activity, I have coming in at number 3. Amazing bed equals instant sleep.
They just got to change the bed.
Yeah, if they just like slept in a super uncomfortable bed, there wouldn't even be any problems. They wouldn't freak out at the same hour in the middle of the night like they always do.
What?
I mean, they don't. Actually, they just sleep through it every single fucking night. They're like, well, better go to bed.
What movie was it? I want to say it was Signs, but correct me if I'm wrong, where they're watching on the news footage and somebody comments like, this is just an ad for something. Or was it Signs? Am I crazy? This is just an ad for cola or something, because they kept showing the same cola commercial. It could have been Signs.
I don't remember either.
I don't know.
It's been a while since I've seen that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about how it's the one thing that was like really bothering me in this entire movie was how easy they were just able to fucking go to sleep every night. Okay.
Right.
Coming in at number 2 for Paranormal Activity, I have student and day trader afford house. That was the most amazing part of the film.
I know.
It's a huge fucking house.
I know it was 2007, but yeah, what the fuck did these guys do
for a living? Diego too, right? Like,
the Wells vagina? You can't afford anything there. Jesus Christ. Mm-mm.
Especially if you're a day trader, full of selling drugs. Because we saw him, he was just fucking around with a camera the entire time. So, all right. And coming in at number 1 for Paranormal Activity, woman's baggage kills long relationship.
Yeah. It's all her fault.
This is where Ari Aster?
Ari Aster
got the inspiration for Hereditary. He's like, oh, this movie's about a breakup. I'm going to do a movie about a breakup.
If you would have told me they were, she was a doctor's assistant and an actor, I would have believed you. I don't believe that they owned this house for a second.
Oh man, I don't want to be that mean to them because they were probably, they were on the younger side at the time. But actually, no, she was born in 82.
Okay.
I don't know about the dude, but it's not like the strongest acted film I've ever seen in my life.
So it says in the IMDb that they were each paid $500 to do this movie.
They were probably so stoked.
They bought a house.
Together, it's $1,000. We could buy a house in San Diego.
This
15,000 square foot house with a
3 bedrooms,
20,
Jesus Christ.
2 mile long pool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. John, what are your first thoughts on the Paranormal Activity? You did text me a very disenchanted text about continuing this series, and I just took it as Halloween was difficult, and I assumed this was going to be difficult. But
this was, when I saw it in theaters, I was like, "Oh, that was fun," but that was also
2007.
Yeah. So not good. Not my favorite movie of all time.
15 years ago.
It wasn't great. Let's put it that way.
Okay. what didn't you like about it? What didn't resonate this time with you? Have you seen it since?
I thought I had seen it since, but I think if I put it on, it's like a background movie.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or I watched like 10 minutes of it, because then I started remembering like, oh, I think I did try to start this again. And I was like, no, this movie's fucking boring. So I would switch to the one I like.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately is like another 2 movies away. So
it's like 3 movies away. I hate to tell you.
Oh, no.
Have you followed the franchise? I mean, stuck with it? Have you seen the sequels?
I stopped after I saw the second one. I've seen, I think I did see the third one, or whichever one starts to show, is this a spoiler? You don't see this fucking thing for 2 movies or 3 movies. Where they show the activity finally. And that movie is not great. I'm already reviewing the next one. I just haven't seen like the last 2 or something. The last 2 or 3.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm relatively, I think I saw the first one maybe a year after I rented it, because I was, at this point, 2007, I was incredibly single. So I did not want to go to the movies by myself to watch a horror movie. That wasn't like a plan. So I waited to rent it. And I saw it and I liked it, and I haven't seen another one since. So it's been 15 years since I've seen this movie, and I've paid no attention to it, which is part of the reason why I wanted to finally see it. Cause I was like, maybe about, I don't know, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we were thinking about what we were going to watch. Halloween was nearby. I was looking at a couple series, and I was like, how many are there? I thought there were like 3, to be honest with you.
No, yeah.
And
just kept going.
And I was like, there's 7, 8 possibly. And I remember you telling me we did have a conversation about you liking the one of them.
Fifth
one. I believe it's the fifth one. Yeah. And so that kind of put it back on my radar to watch. And yeah, no, I mean, as far as my review of this movie, I like the concept. I like the horror scary bits. It was really fun. I got to watch it late at night with my fiance, and she had never seen, I think she did see it or hadn't seen it. She really enjoyed it. She was scared. By scared, meaning like she was busy on her laptop doing work and avoid watching it, which is a sign that she was, which is actually a sign that she doesn't want to engage with it, that it's scary.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like we also come from a culture and also a very strange place where it's a lot of spooky things happen.
Yeah.
So on that level, it's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was incredibly boring.
Yeah. I like it. I like that it's it's really simple, and but I feel like there's a great execution, and I like that sort of like ghostly things going on were all practically done. I think the director, made something on the cheap, right? Considering other big projects, and executed, I think, a really fun movie. There are some, the stuff with, so these movies are usually made with loose guidelines, right? They're not like scripted.
Yeah.
And they just kind of just hired these two actors to kind of just riff off on certain things. And I believe he told them, you just have to hit these points in the story, right? Because this is what they're trying to convey. But they pretty much got to do and say and improvise what they'd like. And I thought the beginning, yeah, that's what I'm gonna say, like the first part of it was really rough. I was like, oh, this is not interesting, and I don't want to be reaching for my phone and looking at other things because this is super boring.
You wouldn't say once the flip happens, when things are allowed to progress a little more naturally, you didn't feel like it got kind of campy?
Yeah, I did.
Like some of the choices were silly.
Yeah, I think that they are playing a very safe. It's playing it very safe in terms of the story, because I think it's like if they try to complicate it, you're gonna lose it in the type of movie doing the found footage movie. So they had to like keep it relatively easy. So it's kind of, because they're doing it so non-traditionally, they had to like keep it, in my opinion, keep it simple to where like, things that would be plausible. But I think that works in two ways, meaning like if somebody's watching this as, if somebody's just putting this on, they can immediately identify with these kind of behaviors, how something like that could happen. And I think it because I think these movies are trying to base themselves on reality, right? Because we're literally, the first thing you see is Paramount Pictures, blah, 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 like a little note about how they're participating in this document or whatever. And I think all those things are so you could be put into that mindset of reality, that this is all could be plausible or things that could happen. But of course, I mean, I think people are smart enough to realize like, no, it's just a movie, right?
Yeah. And I think also they're like, hey, don't stress out too much about explaining everything. Let the movie just be a moment in these people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll like definitely explain it in the 12th one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think that at this point, before the sequel got greenlit, they were like just trying to make just a self-contained scary movie. And I think that's prevalent in this movie. There are things that are rough, in my opinion. Some of the more loose storytelling is always a little tough. That's why you got to pay screenwriters. Yeah. You got to pay the screenwriters to write.
To explain the ghost needs to haunt for X amount of time before it has enough power and energy to start pulling people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all it could do is like jump up and slap some lights around.
Yeah.
It's going to have some invisible strings to tie to each of the cabinets. It happened in this one, right? did it happen in the second one?
The cabin?
Did the kitchen thing happen in this one?
No.
Kitchen no, it didn't happen in this one. It happens in the second one. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, do it. What else didn't work for you? Or what did work for you? How about that?
What did work for me? I think I got a little nostalgic. Like when I initially saw this, I thought Katie Featherston was like really, really pretty. Uh-huh. Like rewatching okay. this, I was like, oh, she's so beautiful.
Okay. All right.
And I think this time around, I appreciated the Micah character a little more, because I think when I first saw it, I was like, this guy's a fucking jackass. He's so annoying, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But now I don't know. He's just kind of like a dude. That's kind of, I think I appreciate that. The character ideas, not so much the development or like the lines, but yeah. And I guess I made fun of it, but if you just like loosely say day trader, that could mean anything. So it's like, maybe he can't afford the house, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a student. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's. You could have believed any profession. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I think this was done in a director's house in 10 days. They filmed it over 10 days.
Yeah.
That
checks out.
Huge,
like, fancy ass neighborhood.
And they don't. It's like all our college projects where we filmed at other people's houses. It's like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like all the decor and all the stuff is like doesn't match up.
You know, I hate to say I can't think of too many things that worked for me.
Okay, fair enough.
But the biggest thing that didn't work for me at all was including the fucking dumbest idea people have ever had for an electric guitar, which was the pickupless guitar where they put the pickups on the inside of the guitar, which is fucking dumb. You can't switch them out. If they break, you gotta open up the whole fucking thing. And I was like, wow. I don't know why this is pissing me off right now, just seeing that stupid guitar.
Well, whose was it? It was
and that's why this movie's not worth watching. That's a review.
Yeah. I mean, I think what they I really like what they achieved, right? Like they use a lot of what is this at this point? Infrared is not infrared, right? It's
like the night vision.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we didn't really see a lot of this, and from what I haven't seen Baywatch in a long time. So, and
you know what kind of sucks about this? So there are three different versions of this movie. I forgot.
Okay.
I remember them talking about this, and it depended. And where you saw it in the United States and when it was being released is the ending you would get. And I think...
Was it like Clue?
We unfortunately got... We unfortunately got the ending we saw in the movie we saw. The version we saw is the same one we got when we saw it in theaters.
Right.
Which is not my favorite ending. I think it's like really stupid. But...
I read about the different endings, and I actually prefer the directors. I read the descriptions. I didn't see them, but the one that they went with,
I did see.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say I think the original ending at a midnight screening, also in the Rio Grande Valley, and I remember thinking like, holy shit, that's a fucking crazy ending. That act like this movie's awesome.
Right.
And then when I rewatched it at some point with. The ending that's like universal now is like, why does this seem different? And like, that did not work for me.
Yeah, I guess this got released through DreamWorks, and Steven Spielberg saw it from what I recall. Oh. And his note was he didn't like the ending. And I disagree. And I think what it is that it's a little darker. It's a little more like grounded, realistic take on it.
Yeah.
And this,
I mean, it's super dark. Yeah.
This is more of a, this ending is more of like a jump scare to poorly describe it. Like a scare.
Yeah.
One last scare before we, you know, end the movie.
Which I almost want to say they have pulled back on the amount of CGI they used for that, like, one last jump scare. I vaguely remember the image being twisted a lot more. I mean, I feel like we're dancing around it instead of just, because we don't want to spoil it, but we're talking an awful lot about something we don't want to really talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just like, oh man, this one was like really rough for me to watch. I don't know. And like, okay. I said, I started watching the second one and I was like, ah, shit. Oh no.
Okay. What's up? Did we freeze? Am I frozen? You good?
No, I was saying the second one, when I started watching it, I was just saying, oh no, a lot, because it's a lot like the first one.
Okay. Okay. Why don't we, I pulled up the three endings and we could talk about those in spoilers.
It was Tim Curry the entire time.
Yeah.
He invited everybody to this house in San Diego.
It was Mustard with the revolver in the observatory. Yeah. All right, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So I believe the ending you're speaking about is pretty much the same way. It's Katie wakes up, she's standing by the bed, she goes downstairs, she then screams, and Micah follows her downstairs or whatever, and you just hear like a thud or something, and Katie comes back up and in rocking back and forth for hours with blood all over herself, and she leaves. And what else is to say? The police arrive at the house, see the body, go upstairs, find Katie, and then she snaps out of it, panics. Where is Micah? While the police tell her to drop the knife, she doesn't, and they shoot her to death. So she dies. She dies at the end of it. So I guess she stays there.
Oh, that's not the version I saw, but yeah, I do remember that one too. I do remember seeing that like on the internet, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
That ending was the director's. Yeah. No, go ahead. What's the ending you saw?
The version I saw is she cuts her own throat, and then that's just kind of how it ends. She bleeds out and dies.
Yeah, that's the third one. Yeah, that's the third alternative ending. Very similar, it says, to the original. Only she comes back up all bloody, closes the door behind her, approaches the camera, slices her own throat, and with the knife, she kills Michael with. So that actually is would have been a very effective one.
Yeah, because I remember it's like she kind of pulls her like from her nose down, and you see her neck up to the camera, and then she picks her chin up. And she just like cuts her throat open, kind of not slowly, but like sort of slow.
Right.
And it bleeds out.
So, yeah. So I think Spielberg didn't like the first one, which I think is wrong. And there was a third alternative, but they ended up using the one we saw as the theatrical Blu-ray ending. Where I guess they...
Where she puts the Snapchat filter on her face.
Yeah. And she... I think they only did that to leave it open-ended and create sequels. I think that's why I think that ending is in there to begin with. That's my assumption.
It's kind of a bummer because unnecessary. You could just like talk about... I mean, the second movie, oh, we'll talk about it then. But like it didn't really matter if they lived or died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, excuse me. Well.
But yeah, I did enjoy the her suicide. I rather enjoyed her suicide.
Yeah.
All right, that's my review of this film.
The only thing I like is not in this movie. I enjoyed her suicide.
I rather enjoy suicides.
That review.
Anyways, I'm a real piece of shit. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye. Have a great night.
That review went real dark. Shot.
yeah, I know. I mean, as like an ending, I felt like it tied things a little bit nicer.
Mm-hmm.
Her getting shot by the police, I thought was really cool too. I remember that one. And this one, the one that stuck, I thought was like probably one of the worst decisions for an ending.
Yeah, they were thinking franchise. They were thinking,
yeah,
let's make.
Because like that, it looks so bad. It looks bad. The like she her face turns into like ghoulish features, sort of.
Right.
And I like I said, I think they've toned it down because I vaguely remember the first time I saw that ending, it was like exaggerated. Which is kind of fun if you're watching it alone in the middle of the night. Like it, I think the reason I thought initially with like the crazy exaggerated version, I was like, ooh, Sleepaway Camp, that's kind of fun. But
right, yeah.
It doesn't really land. I don't know. I don't like it.
It's a I don't know how to say this, Hollywood ending, right? I mean, it's so we can return. It's not a filmmaker ending usually is there's resolution, right? I mean, that's usually the idea. Most directors, I'm not going to say all directors, most directors usually want to end their movie and have like a period on it.
They fucked up. They should have, like, if they had gotten like a really good director, you know, like U Bull.
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll are there any more equivalents of directors like that now? It's pretty much straight B movie directors.
Really, no.
No, right?
Yeah. No, I can't say. I can't think. I mean, I feel like you would have thought Ty West was that.
Ty West. I mean,
but Oren Peli.
Yeah. He has a beautiful home, first of all. So, yeah, you know, props to him.
And he can afford that because he's really just a producer.
He was, yeah. He was
producer. He's only directed two movies, and that was his first one.
He's very hands-off with the directing.
Probably a smart decision.
A smart decision, yeah.
And he was probably, it makes a lot more sense now, too, that he's like, yeah, we're going to use my house, but we're only going to shoot in the spare bedroom in this, like, small nook we're going to call the living room and a little piece of the kitchen.
We're going to redress the guest bedroom as the master bedroom.
It's a master bedroom.
And you're all are only getting $500. That's all I have.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Because you know who the set decorator was? Oren Peli.
I was going to say, he was the director. Didn't even credit his wife or who actually picked the stuff
Maybe
out.
She probably asked to not be credited. Yeah, he did everything for this movie.
That makes sense.
He's one of the costume designers, which is crazy because the costumes in this, I'm just kidding.
Outrageous.
It's like, okay, we need to get her some clothes. Let's see.
What'd you bring?
Skin tight shirt number one.
Yeah.
Not low cut enough. Let's try skin tight shirt number two. Because if there's one thing like people love to wear at home, it's like skin tight clothes to relax, you know?
Well, they probably said like bring about 10 days worth of changing clothes, normal clothes you wear. Around the house.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and she was like...
She brought a suitcase.
They probably are both like, well, I don't want to look like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Micah character is like, I just... Suits feel comfortable to me. I don't know. I'm just joking. He doesn't wear a suit. But like, I just, you know...
Well,
I like top hats. It's my thing.
What if I... unintentional funny bits was she gets really mad at him for bringing in a Ouija board, right? And he's like, what? Yeah. He's like, oh, what do you mean? He says something to the effect of, what do you mean? You're my girlfriend and you're living in my house. I'm like, really? This is-
yeah, it's like, man, the ghost falling is probably something you should have mentioned before we started living together.
And it's like,
yeah, because you believed her so much when she mentioned it before. Yeah, I don't know. And then the part where he's like, oh, we're going to get out of this house. And she's already possessed. So she pretends like, no, we'll just stay here. And he's like, okay.
Like, yeah. What?
But how she like, he walks away and then she just kind of looks at the camera and like smiles. I'm like,
I know that look.
That was dumb. Yeah.
I would not stay in that house.
No, because she's doing poots in that blanket right now. That's what that face means.
I also...
little toots.
Not to harp on the movie, but the unintentionally funny scene was the paranormal guy, the whatever he was.
Oh,
it's so cold. What is, I have to go. Oh,
I feel this energy. I have to, it doesn't want me here.
I have to go. I'm sorry. I got to go. He just stick off on him. It's like, dude. He's like, I'll get
sorry,
you help.
The other guy can't come in because of reasons. I'm here. Oh, actually, I can't stay.
I have to go.
Good luck.
Don't antagonize it. Don't buy.
Yeah. Oh, we should probably leave. That'll just piss it off more. Stay here and die instead. Okay.
But he probably wants your girlfriend. So.
She's like,
good luck.
Yeah, so strange that this is happening now because it's only been happening my entire life. That's basically what the conversation was like.
Yeah, it was.
It's so weird that this is happening. It's only been happening since I was born.
Yeah. Well, they did have that nice moment with the picture and being on fire. So I'm imagining the demon has pictures of her when she was younger, you know. Stroking one out up in the attic.
Yeah, exactly. It's a sex demon. So we are watching a sex demon.
We are watching a sex demon. Yeah.
Puts a new spin on succubus.
Hey,
the second movie, spoiler alert, actually explains all that.
Oh, okay. Great. Good.
So don't worry. Don't worry about all the plot holes. They'll get deeper.
Well, I mean, this movie was fun. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. Do you want to? Do you have any last?
Sorry, I hated it so much.
Well,
sorry, folks. I just did not like it. It bummed me out.
Our exact conversation was, "What did you say, dear Lord? What have we done? Seven more to go." Yeah. I mean, I could, I could say by the time we were like halfway through Halloween, we were saying the same shit. So I took it as a great assault.
But halfway through Halloween, the movie that you liked the least ended up being the reason I liked the franchise again. Fucking
fair enough. Yeah, it's true.
That the hand model Michael Myers is always gonna. I talk about that movie all the time now. I'm like, you gotta watch the fifth one because I hired a hand model to be Michael Myers. To do some hand acting for like minutes.
Is that the one who's like short and fat and kind of the exact opposite of all these other Michael Myers?
Yeah, I think the same one where we have these two goofy cops that have like a stupid score and
the European director. The European director is the one that did that one. Yeah.
Like unceremoniously get killed off screen, even though they were like gearing up to be important to the story.
Got the favorite parts. Every angle sex scene and dubbed audio during that sections.
That's right. So if you're in the mood to watch Paranormal Activity, we're saying you should just watch Halloween 5? Question mark.
I know I'm having fun with it or whatever, but I did actually like this movie. I think it does work. I think some of it not aged entirely well. You know, I think some of it needs, it's not as fresh as it was 15 years ago, but that's a lot of movies. But I think there's something still here. There's something still there that I think that works very rudimentary to the story. I think they made a pretty chilling ghost story overall. All right.
Yeah, I would say I would want to agree with you, but I feel like I've watched like 80s movies with low budgets that are way better than this.
I agree. Yeah. I understand.
Just off the top of my head, let's Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Anything Bruce Campbell does.
Well, we'll have to do a found book series. Then you can review Evil Dead.
I got a quick story if you want to hear it. If it's you think it's interesting enough.
Go for it.
I really wanted to rewatch Evil Dead 2. After initially watching it that first time, because I was like, I think I really fucking love that movie. It's like changing my life, probably for the worst. but like went to a video rental store and I couldn't remember what it was called, right? Because this was like whatever, early 90s or something, right? Couldn't remember what it was called. There's no way for me to check. Yeah. I guess I could have asked my older brother, but he was never around. My dad couldn't remember. So I picked up a movie that was an H.P. Lovecraft, like sort of anthology series called Necronomicon, Book of the Dead.
Because
I, you know, there's like a lot of, like, you hear Necronomicon, Book of the Dead 1,000 times in the movie Evil Dead.
Yeah.
So I watched it and I was like, this is not it. And I watched it with like both my parents wanted to see it too, because they thought it was the same movie. And they're like, what the hell is this? It was just like pure gore camp. like yeah. People just getting like ripped to shreds. Like, nope, this isn't it.
Yeah. Well, we'll put that on the list.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll put that one on the list to watch. It sounds familiar. Yeah. All right. Anywho.
Yeah, tell us at home, folks. Do you want us to do anthology movies? Because we could do... what's the Dark Side? The one had like Debbie Harry and... What's his name from the New York Dolls and...
Videodrome? Videodrome?
No, James Remar was in one of the stories with... Ray Dong Chong and... Ray Dong Chong ended up being a gargoyle.
Oh, fuck. I can't think of it.
Tales from the Dark Side. It was a TV series.
Oh, yeah. Tales from the Dark Side.
They finally made a movie. Anthology movies. We can do it. We can do it, guys.
Let us know in the comments below. So,
and that is how I feel about Paranormal Activity, the first one.
So going forward, we'll double up. And over the next 3 episodes, you'll hear what we think of the rest of this franchise. So let's go.
I'll try to be more open-minded about this crap.
That's all I ask. Let's do it. let's go to our... unscientific but super horny rating system. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Paranormal Activity 4 sexy spooky bones for its admirable try and for Katie Featherstone.
In that order. I'm going to go a little higher. I enjoyed myself, but it is a little, to me, it's a little aged. It's an aged project in some respects, but still kind of fun. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm going to give it 7 spooky bones, sexy spooky bones out of 10.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sexy spooky
it's,
bones.
It was super sexy to me. Sexy demon grooming some child. So there you go.
If anybody's been following us since the inception of this podcast to this point, I feel like there's been like a dramatic shift in our decided personalities or like the way we review. I think you were like really harsh at the beginning towards all the movies. And I was like, no, I really liked it. Now I'm like, fuck this shit. Fuck this movie too.
It wasn't bad. They tried. Filmmaking's hard. Yeah, I give them credit for that.
You can't show Ghost John. Nobody can see Ghost John.
What did you want them to do? Get real ghost. Real demons.
Did you want him to throw some bed sheets on him, John? Just, cut some holes in them.
Just every other word is John. John.
I got that from, I don't know where the fuck I picked up this habit, but for a long time, and one of my favorite people on earth, one of my exes, would make fun of me because I would randomly break out into like, if I did something wrong, I'd be like, oh, come on, John, come on, come on, John. And then she would start yelling like, oh, yeah, come on, Jan. You okay, Jan? Sorry.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's super funny.
Thank you for pointing that out, Jenny.
Appreciate you.
All right. On that note, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. It's my paranormal activity.
It was good.
That's what the ghost
says. I liked it. It's good.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...